real in my surroundings.
Hello and welcome to episode 228 of the Smash Accept podcast. I'm your host, Michael Royer. You can find me on Twitter at DynastyDadFF. It is draft season. We're right around the corner. We wanted to bring you some, you know, a super flex mock draft to show you where Snoog and I are at, to show you where you guys should be going pre-draft process. Also remind you that, you know, pre-draft process and post-draft process are very different. But if you can put yourself into an area where you can assess where the tiers are, see what the talent really is, then you can put yourself in a position to absolutely smash your draft, just like we've been teaching you for years. Snoog, I'm excited, man. Like, we are just a couple of days away from draft season. I got my guys, you got your guys. I'm excited to do a mock because we haven't been doing these very often. This one's primarily, you know, so you guys can see things on YouTube, see how we go through our draft process, the guys that we really want to hit on. And dude, it's right around the corner.
Yeah, we're 9 days away. Best time of the year. So this is where the dynasty landscape starts for the year, right? The draft is where you set the tone. This is where you take advantage of rookie fever. You get the guys you want to compete against your and be a top contender, honestly. So we're going to kind of help you steer through what guys you should be targeting, the tiers of these guys and where they lay and who to avoid. So I'm excited for this. And we're jumping in with our boys, Austin Abbott, FF. Shout out him. You should shoot him a follow over on Twitter and on YouTube. He's doing great things in the space. So I'm excited to get in with him.
Yeah, when we have, you know, at Brock Dynasty is filling in as well. We're just going to give you all our takes, but we wanted to let you guys know, make sure you guys follow both of those guys. So we're starting out. I got the 101 just because I'm dad and that's what I do. No, but for me, and I've gotten some blowback about this, but I mean, there is no debate for me who the 101 is. It's Caleb Williams. I'm taking him in every possible scenario I can. And this is just a spot where people say, hey, dad, you know, like Marvin Harrison's in that conversation. The way I look at it is Justin Jefferson right now is the wide receiver one in a startup. He goes behind 7 or 8 quarterbacks. He's firmly, you know, in the same area value-wise as 2 or 3 other quarterbacks. So if he is, Marvin Harrison becomes the wide receiver one, it's the only scenario where I think he passes or comes close to what Caleb Williams is. Caleb Williams is a, what we say, generational talent, a best prospect we've seen since Andrew Luck, a guy that I feel like has top 5 upside, you know, where I think you had put it as a comp, Kyler Murray. I'm very on board with that. You know, a lot of people try to say Patrick Mahomes and I'm not quite there yet, but this is a top 5 overall startup, a top 5 quarterback pedigree that I think we could see an absolute, you know, generational type player that is going to ascend year after year.
Yeah, I'm going to roll with the easy pick here, 102, Marvin Harrison Jr. out of Ohio State. He checks every damn box, production profile, early declare, breakout age, elite production. Like, this is a guy that can do everything. He can win on all 3 levels. He's 21 years old. He is damn near generational. He is an elite prospect. There's nothing that you can nitpick about his game. I've seen plenty of people on Twitter, on YouTube, in the draft community trying to nitpick him, saying that he's not the wide receiver one. Cool, you can make an argument for Neighbors. I'm as big as a Neighbors fan as anybody else. But Marvin Harrison Jr., I'm assuming he goes 4 to the Cardinals or 5 to the Chargers. I'm a firm believer that that happens. So he's going to get that premium landing spot with an elite quarterback. He's paving himself a way for a top 3 to 5 dynasty wide receiver eventually. And he's going to probably put up 1,000 yards as a rookie. So, I mean, this is a guy. He was an elite athlete. He was 6'3". He's got the length. He's got the size. He's got the athleticism. Like, there's nothing that you cannot like about this type of prospect. And he's up there with the Jamar Chases, the AJ Greens, the Julio Jones, the Mike Evans. Like, he's one of those type of prospects. So easy pick for me.
Yeah. And you took the 1A, you know, I think there is a 1B in this particular class. I think we're at an area where, honestly, if you told me when we got to draft day that you took Malik Neighbors over Marvin Harrison Jr. at this point, I would not be upset. I think landing spot is going to be huge. You know, if Marvin goes to the Giants and we see Malik Neighbors go to the Cardinals or go to the Chargers, I think we're going to flip-flop these two guys. I now have them as Caleb in tier 1 by himself, and then I have Malik and Marvin in tier 2 with one of the other quarterbacks. But I think these guys are players that if you have the 102, 103, and people are saying, dad, I'm rebuilding, should I trade out of these spots? No, these are absolute hammers on your team. These are guys that are wide receivers that will anchor your team for the next decade. These are the Julio Jones and AJ Green, like you said, the Jamar Chase, the CeeDee Lambs. They have that kind of pedigree. Guys that get drafted this high, that have this type of athletic profile, that have this type of, you know, production profile, they don't miss. We're not talking about taking a wild card on a Treylon Burks or Jameson Williams. We're talking about elite level wide receivers that will be focal points on your dynasty team for the next decade. You know, like, this is what you want. This is how you build. If you are in a rebuilding one quarterback league and you have both of these guys, enjoy, because this process is going to be beautiful for you. You are, this is like 2020 taking Jefferson and Lamb. You're going to have those type players just continuously rise and rise in value. I'm excited to have both of these guys. I'm trying Snoog right now to trade up to get to that 103, because it seems to be a little bit cheaper than the 102 right now. People still have that. I see no difference between the two in value. If I can move from 2 to 3 and get anything, a 25 second, a 26 second, I would do it, because I have these guys that close.
Yeah, absolutely. You nailed it there. And I think that these three are pretty set in stone for me. I think even if, I mean, it looks like Drake May goes to the Vikings, then I think I would consider him at 3 if Neighbors went to like the Giants. Yeah. But like, I think that's the only way that would get me to not take Neighbors 3. Like, I think Neighbors is pretty much going to be a Cardinal, a Charger, or maybe like a Giant. Maybe a team moves up for him. But I think he's bulletproof. He's landing spot proof. He's a guy that is an elite athlete. He checks every damn box. He broke out at a young age. He broke out on LSU alongside a previous guy that had a lot of pedigree in Kayshon Boutte, a guy that has a ton of hype this year in Brian Thomas Jr. Like, he just dominated on this offense, is one of the best vertical threats in the league, and he's the best vertical threat in this class, in my opinion.
My biggest question for you right now, and I know, you know, my 104 is Jaden Daniels, and I know it might not be yours, but if 1, 2, and 3 seem so locked and loaded, these are guys that are going to hit. If you have the 104, you need, and you don't need a quarterback, let's say you already have Kyler Murray, Dak Prescott, and, you know, you got another quarterback, like a Cousins or Stafford to back it up. So you're not really... you don't have to smash it on Jaden Daniels. I tell people, if they have the 101 and they still have, you know, Kyler Murray and Dak Prescott, I'm still taking Caleb Williams, because the value is that much higher.
Yep.
But when you get to 4, I mean, you know, unless May or Daniels goes to the Vikings, it's a little bit different. What would you give up if you were at 104 to move up to 103?
If Drake May goes to the Patriots, Jaden Daniels goes to the Commanders, and say JJ goes 4 to the Vikings. Say that's like the lineup. That's what we've been seeing. That's been the consensus, like, mock trajectory for a lot of these guys. I'd be willing to give up a second round pick, probably like a 25 second, just to get up one spot to lock in that elite wide receiver. Yeah. But
that's, I do think 205 from the 4, or I would pay the 201 from the 5. You know, like, if I was in that area, and I have a hard time paying the, if, because right now I'm starting to move Rome up. So, I mean, but if I moved to the, if Rome went 5 and we are talking about May in that situation, or McCarthy at 6, 7 or Brock, then I would pay the 111, 112 to move up to Malik Neighbors.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a good, now, breakdown.
Now the tricky part, who are you taking it for?
I'm going to go with my QB2. We don't know landing spots yet, but it's Drake May. Broke out at a young age. Put up 16 rushing touchdowns in 2022 and 2023. So he checks that box. A lot of people say he checks that box as that prototypical, like, strong arm athletic gunslinger, like the Josh Allen, the Justin Herbert. Like, he's not Josh Allen. I can tell you that right now. There's no Josh Allen. I personally think, like, a good comp for him, just based on his raw abilities coming out, kind of misses some people from time to time, a little raw in the passing and with his footwork. I think Jordan Love's a great comp for him. Just that really talented passer, great rushing quarterback, good athleticism. He's young. He can make throws on all three levels. He's got that big, strong arm. I think Jordan Love's a good comp, and I think he can maybe get to that Justin Herbert light. I just think, I mean, this guy, 4,000 passing yards as a sophomore. He had zero NFL talent on his team this past year, 3,600 yards. He was one of the best big-time throw quarterbacks in the past 2 years as a starter. He has great stats. I mean, this is a guy that, like we said, like, he made UNC any sort of relevance. Like, this team sucked last year and this year, but Drake May was the reason why they were any sort of good. I think if we saw Drake May throwing footballs to Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr., he would have won the Heisman, and we'd be talking about Jaden Daniels and Drake May completely differently. I just personally think Drake May is a better quarterback than Jaden Daniels. I think he broke out at a much younger age. Like, if we saw Drake May as a 23-year-old quarterback playing for 5 years, I'm sure he would be putting up crazy numbers and he'd clean up a lot of the raw abilities. There's a reason why it took Jaden Daniels 5 years to get to that point, right? Like, it's a reason Drake May was good in his second year at 19 years old. So that's kind of where they separate each other for me. And I just think he has that like 4,000 passing yard, like 30 plus touchdown upside. And he has a little bit of rushing upside sprinkled in, and he's great at throwing on the run. So he checks a lot of boxes for me analytically and on film.
I got a question for you. And this one's been rattling through my head because, you know, we're always trying to assess where we like values, where players are. Is Drake May, have we just tried to overanalyze so much? You know, he was in that same conversation as Caleb for the longest time. Is he the Justin Herbert and the Josh Allen of this class, meaning the guy that falls too far in the super flex draft, the guy that should have gone 102, 103, but ends up being 106, 107, 108, 109, because people are like, well, I don't want another Zach Wilson. I don't want another, you know, Trey Lance. Like, people just are so worried about those early picks. Is this a scenario where Drake May goes 106 and this is the absolute steal of the draft?
I think there's a very good scenario of that, because he, if you look at Justin Herbert and Josh Allen and Jordan Love and these guys coming out of college, they were very similar to this type of, like, they were raw in a lot of areas. They were unpolished, but they flashed such good upside with their strong arms, their ability to make throws on all three levels, and their rushing upside and their mobility in and out of the pocket. So I think he fits in that mold perfectly. Is he going to be those guys? That's the chance you take, right? Like, there's a chance he gets to that, but there's also a chance that he doesn't really end up being anything. But if I had to bet on anybody to be closest to Caleb Williams or kind of get on that top 10 to 12 dynasty QB range, for me, it'd be Drake May, just from a longevity perspective. Like, maybe Jaden Daniels gets that in year one, because like Justin Fields did, and he like rushed for 1,000 yards and did nothing for the Bears from an NFL perspective. But I think Drake May just holds more longevity and like more job security than like a Jaden Daniels long-term in the NFL.
So I'm glad you brought up Jaden Daniels, because that's going to be my pick. He's my 104. You look at some of the things. I mean, 40 time, 97th percentile at 4.50. 6'4", 90th percentile. 4-star recruit, a guy that I think belongs in that. Yes, is he, you know, I have him more of a Lamar light. I think there is a potential for him to bust. I think there is a potential for him to be a Justin Fields. But would you look at what he did his Heisman season? 72.2% completion percentage. Absolutely phenomenal. Fifth in passing. He had 40 passing touchdowns. That's second to just 4 INTs. So it's not like it was sloppy. 1,134 rushing yards. That's first in all of college football, with 8.34 yards per carry, 10 rushing touchdowns. I mean, I just think he is going to provide you with a rushing floor that he is. We saw what happened with Justin Fields, right? And that's the question. Everybody's like, Dad, what if he's the next Justin Fields? Okay, so Justin Fields, as a rookie, was going third round. Justin Fields going into his sophomore year was going as a late first. Jaden Daniels will put up that type of season, especially if he goes to the Commanders. I think there's enough weapons there where if he goes two to the Commanders, this is a scenario where I think you get him year one at 104. You sell him for, you know, 25 first plus a couple of other assets. You get, you know, Bryce Young in a 25 first. You get, you know, your guy there that you want to insulate, you want to add to the value, let it increase. I think there's a very low chance that he doesn't put up at least mid QB2 numbers if he starts right out the gate. You know, there is the injury risk, that's for sure. But I think we're going to see a scenario where Jaden Daniels is a guy that you draft him now, then you trade him, and you definitely get a good ROI on that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm going to go with a guy that I would honestly probably consider taking here over Jaden Daniels, depending on the landing spot. Yeah. I don't fault you for going Daniels, chasing upside there. There is tons of upside. The deep ball is beautiful. He can run the ball well. Roma Dunze. This is a guy. Shout out Matt Harmon and his tool that he invented, the reception perception. It is phenomenal. His chart lit up green like a Christmas tree. He dominated press coverage. He dominated man coverage. This was a guy that won on all three levels of the football field. He was great at the combine, 4.45, 40. Like, that's elite speed for a guy that's 6'3", 212 pounds. He had a 39-inch vertical. He had a great three cone, great shuttle time. Like, he stood out so well. And this is the type of guy that if you take this outside of fantasy football and just look at it in the lens of the NFL perspective, like, he's a very coachable player. This is a kid that has a great head on his shoulders, very positive player, like, just wants to be great. There's nothing stopping Rome Odunze from being a great NFL wide receiver, right? And the NFL agrees. Like, this is a guy that's going top 10 in the draft. You could argue this guy, like, if someone took him 104 in a draft, I would not be, like, I wouldn't be like, ugh, like, this kid just took Rome Odunze 104. Like, this is the type of player and this is the type of safety asset that you can invest in a rookie draft that you look at it next year and you're like, oh, I avoided the two QB busts, but I got a top 10 wide receiver in Dynasty. So, I mean, this is a guy, he had the production profile, 1,600 yards this past year. He is a big reason Washington got as far as they did and almost won the national championship. Mm-hmm. He could have declared last year, and I think he would have been still a round one pick. He did have things to clean up. He came back another year, cleaned up big time. If Chris Olave and Drake London had a baby, you'd get Rome Odunze. And I think he's a top 15 dynasty wide receiver as we stand today. And I think he's going to go top 10 in the NFL draft, locked and loaded.
Yeah, if he goes to the Chargers, like, I like him a lot, like Keenan Allen, where he would be that perfect fit in there. And I think that would put you in a situation where he is definitely worthy of the 104 if, you know, where you're at with your quarterback situation. And that's where if he, you know, we get unfavorable landing spots for both Harrison and Malik Nabers, he's not that far off. I mean, in most draft classes, Rome Odunze is the wide receiver one. And I think this year is just that special that you're going to get a third. Your wide receiver three has wide receiver one potential. A guy that I think could be a top 10 wide receiver in the next two seasons for sure.
Mm-hmm.
The next pick, and I would argue we could even get to a spot where if there was a premium on this, if we played in a two tight end, if you played in 1.75 tight end premium, a guy like Brock Bowers belongs inside the top five. I think he's going to end up in a lot of leagues, fall to 106, 107. And if people really are quarterback starved, and I would just blow my mind, but I think he could fall all the way to 108 in some leagues. I think Brock Bowers is the most talented tight end that we've seen. I love Trey McBride. I love Sam Laporta. But this is a tight end that has more talent, like, believe it or not. Like, he is that good. His yards after the catch, like, he has carried an offense to Georgia where he was essentially the focal point. And people are like, well, you can't do that with a tight end. Travis Kelce's done it for years. This is the same type of player who is just going to great yards after the catch. Someone that I think, Snoog, in 2 years from now will be the dynasty tight end one. Guy that I'm trying to trade Sam Laporta for Brock Bowers plus wherever I can at this point. The key for me, Snoog, is what's the landing spot, right? If he goes to the Jets or he goes to the Chargers, you know, like, he goes to an offense that he is going to be, one, a focal point, and two, have a competent quarterback, the sky's the limit. But we've seen it with Kyle Pitts, who we talked very similarly about, and then he goes to the wrong system. So yeah. Landing spot for tight end matters more than anybody else, in my opinion, other than the quarterback.
Absolutely. I mean, this is a guy I personally think is a better prospect than Kyle Pitts was, just from a talent perspective. He won the DeJohn Mackey Award twice out of 3 years in college. He broke out as a true freshman on the best team in college football. He was the best player on offense on the best team in college football for three straight years. This is a guy that is like nothing we've ever seen in a while, at least at the tight end position. He's another guy that you can throw in that generational conversation, because tight end like this comes only so long. Like, Pitts was considered one, but like, this is like going back to like the Vernon Davis days. Like, Brock Bowers is that dual threat tight end, elite athleticism, great after the catch. You could move this guy around like a chess piece, very versatile in different formations. I think him to the Jets, complimenting Garrett Wilson with Mike Williams on the vertical threat. They beefed up that O-line big time, bringing in two starting linemen from the Ravens. They brought in Dallas, Tyron Smith. Like, Aaron Rodgers, if he can stay healthy and he can give us one or two good years on the Jets with Garrett Wilson, with Brock Bowers, I think Brock Bowers could put up back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons in this offense, because it's that run-heavy Shanahan-style play-action offense. I think Brock Bowers is a match made in heaven going to the Jets, just from like an NFL perspective, and I think the fantasy points will follow.
The interesting thing for me is, and somebody brought this up in our Patreon, and guys, I mean, this is, we're putting this out on YouTube. Make sure you guys check out our YouTube page. If you guys are watching on YouTube, make sure you check out the podcast. If you're doing both, we love you, but check out the Patreon. We are doing this all the time. In our Patreon, we are giving you guys draft assistance so you don't take the next Treylon Burks, so you don't get the next, you know, Quentin Johnson. We have rooms for every single draft pick from 101 to 112. Wherever you landed, you can have a group where you're going to talk with 30, 40, 50 plus people in each one, where you're going to say, hey, what are you guys doing with the 102? What have you seen in your draft on draft day? What are some trades that you guys have made? And you guys gotta get involved with those things. Money back guarantee through the month of April. You're going to love it. You're going to have a great draft season. And, you know, if you don't love this situation afterwards, jump out. You paid $5 to help with a whole generation of people. There's honestly 300 people in there from the ages of 18 to the ages of 65, the one guy is. You know what I mean? So it's like, dude, just come in, have some fun, get that sense of community. Snoog and I care about your fantasy teams. John, Mung, everybody that's in there cares about your fantasy teams. Your girlfriend doesn't. Your wife doesn't. Your friends at work don't. They just want to win. So join that. Make sure you guys check it out. Snoog, in the Patreon, someone asked me, if you're playing in a two tight end league with tight end premium, which is just a different beast. If you play two tight end, those are the worst. But he said, is Brock Bowers worth the 103, 104? And I said, I'm still taking Neighbors, but I'm smashing Brock Bowers at 104. And I'm debating at 103 because when you play two tight ends, that means you're starting guys like, you know, like a Tyler Conklin. Like you're all the way in there. If you have an injury, you're starting guys like, you know, Kylan Granson. You're just guessing, you know, at that point. So Brock Bowers would really just bring that team home.
Yeah, I hope Brock Bowers, I hope we see a world where a team trades up and comes and gets him, right? Like a team where we love, like a Dallas Cowboys or a Cincinnati Bengals or like one of those type of teams come and get him out of, or like a Pittsburgh Steelers would be a fun team. Like, I'd like to see that, but like, I think Colts, Jets, those are great landing spots just for him to thrive in. Like, it's better than like the Titans, right? Like, we don't want to see that. We don't want to see like Bears would be even kind of gross because it'd be like, you still got Komet there, and then you got Keenan Allen, DJ Moore. It's just we want a team where he's like the clear one or two option in the passing game and with a decent quarterback. So I think those would be some good spots for him.
Absolutely. You're on the clock, brother.
Yeah, here at the 8 pick, I'm going to just go with JJ McCarthy. I think we just got to the end of a tier here right after Bowers. I do think there's a little bit of a gap between these seven guys we just named and JJ, just from like a pure ceiling perspective and kind of prospect outcome. But I mean, JJ McCarthy is a guy I'm comfortable taking here at the 8 spot, right? Low risk involved. You're taking him at the 108, mid to late first range, and you're getting a guy that just won the national championship, ran a pro style offense for 2 to 3 years, still very young, early declare. He is really accurate from time to time. Like, he overthrows, he underthrows, but like, he shows off some pinpoint accuracy and some real NFL throws and some big time throws in Michigan, even when he wasn't asked to do it. Like, everyone keeps talking about, look what Jim Harbaugh was going to do here with Justin Herbert and the Chargers. They're going to run the ball so much, they're not going to throw the ball. So then, like, why aren't we using the same excuse for why JJ McCarthy didn't thrive in this Michigan offense, right? Like, that was the pro style offense that they ran in college, run the ball, pound the rock, get the play action. JJ McCarthy was phenomenal on third down, and his third down completion percentage was through the roof. Still very young, 5-star recruit. Like, this is a guy that checks a lot of boxes. I'm comfortable taking him 108, assuming this is a guy that's going to probably go to a team that trades up to get him. And I'm taking him 108, assuming he goes top 10 in the NFL draft, which I do think he will. So this is a guy that I comped recently to like a Brock Purdy light type, just with the way he carries himself, the poise, the confidence. I think like him in Minnesota, you could argue him to go over Daniels. You could argue him to go over a Bowers and a Roma Dunze, because I think in the right system with the right tools around him, he can thrive as an NFL quarterback and be like that Brock Purdy where he's winning games. He's got his job secured and he's throwing for 4,000 passing yards. So do I think JJ McCarthy is like the world's best quarterback and he's an elite prospect and he's super good, like a lot of these Michigan fans are saying? No, but I do think he's a very capable game manager plus, where he can get you to that Kirk Cousins, that Brock Purdy, that type of range is a realistic, like that top 15, top 16 QB outcome. So I'm comfortable taking the swing on that upside with a young quarterback at that 108 spot.
Yeah, I think you're right there. I mean, I think that the tier just did end at 108. I think there's a real life scenario where 109 could jump into that tier with a Brian Thomas Jr. going to the right landing spot. Brian Thomas Jr. is an absolute alpha type mentality, a guy that is, you know, 6'4", a little bit under 200 pounds, just coming off a 17 touchdown. So I got stuck up on the weight. A 17 touchdown season. That this is not the next Quentin Johnson. This is not the next Treylon Burks. He ran a 4.38 40. He's absolutely phenomenal athletic profile. This is someone that I would love to see go to the Jaguars in that area, but I'm seeing him starting to slide back a little bit. If Buffalo moves up for a Brian Thomas Jr., I think he belongs in this same tier at the 109, and I think could absolutely thrive year one. In the right situation, Brian Thomas Jr. is the type of wide receiver that I am comfortable. We just talked an entire episode about taking guys from the 106 to the 112, where those wide receivers, when they hit big. When they miss big too. And I think Brian Thomas has a little bit of that mentality, could potentially be a bust, but I think the upside, the ceiling, I'm more 75% sure on him than I was on a Quentin Johnson, than I was on a Treylon Burks, than I was on guys like that in the past. And I think Brian Thomas could absolutely be a smash at the 109.
Yeah, exactly. You nailed it. And I think we can name three landing spots here where he can thrive. The Charger, or not the Chargers, the Cardinals, if they move back, I've seen that. That's a great spot there with Kyler Murray's deep threat and deep throwing abilities. I love the Steelers situation. Him and Pickens would just be so much fun, so much dynamic ability on that offense with Russell Wilson, who's used to a Cortland Sutton. He's used to a DK Metcalf. He always feeds those bigger target wide receivers, and he always does very well with those guys. He's just a safe veteran quarterback, so that could be a good landing spot. I'd love to see him in Jacksonville. That's like my ultimate dream. That's my number one landing spot that I've named. Buffalo, Dallas would be phenomenal, especially Dallas alongside CeeDee Lamb in that role where Brandon Cooks failed, Michael Gallup failed. Like, we need in Dallas a guy that's capable of multiple 1,000-yard seasons, 8 to 10 touchdowns, and stretching the field vertically well and being a big target thrower for Dak Prescott. Because Dak Prescott led the NFL in red zone targets last year, thrown with, like, over 100, and he was first of all quarterbacks. So they need a guy that can just thrive in that red zone area that's not CeeDee Lamb. We saw Jake Ferguson do it. He's not a great guy. Like, he's a good tight end, but he's not great. He's not a guy that you want to rely on as your number two option. And then Buffalo. I mean, Buffalo and Jacksonville is a dream in heaven. Brian Thomas Jr. is my wide receiver 4 right now. I have a tier with the next two guys that we're going to talk about here because I truly think landing spot is huge, that we can shuffle any of these four guys or three guys here based on where they go. I'm going to go with Xavier Worthy. And I'm splitting hairs here between Thomas Worthy and the next guy that we're going to talk about. I just think Worthy is one of the safer of the three. I think he has the most versatile skill set, and he's that chess piece that an offense, a Mike Daniels, can come in and say, all right, I can take this guy and I can move him around. I can play him anywhere on the football field. I can get him mismatches. I can put him in the slot. I can get him motioned around. Like, the NFL uses motion more than it ever has in the of all time. Like, Tank Dell, Jordan Addison, Devontae Smith, these guys are all sub 170 pounds, are thriving in the NFL with today's game. Xavier Worthy is another guy that falls right into that category of just a good separator, speedy guy, 4.21 speed, track record, broke the combine. He had 40-inch vertical, like, elite broad jump. Like, this guy jumped out the gym, ran out of the gym. He has elite production, broke out as a true freshman, 12 touchdowns, 900-plus yards on a great Texas team. He's like fourth in career yards per team pass attempt, good yards per out run number, very, very good target share, 100-plus targets in all 3 years at Texas. This Texas team is a breeding ground for NFL talent. Like, they just push out NFL talent year after year. And Xavier Worthy's been that top guy for 3 straight years on this team. There's no reason that he should be outside your top 5 to 6. He's my 5 right now. I could see him 4. I could see him 6. I think him in Dallas, like I said, in that vertical role, that Brandon Cooks role alongside CeeDee Lamb would be phenomenal. Him in Buffalo would be phenomenal. I think he would do better in a number two role than he would in a number one role. I think he's more of that, like, 1A or like that 1B type receiver, or that strong number two. Jalen Waddle's a pretty good comp I've seen. Tank Dell's a great comp. Jordan Addison, he's that speedy, natural, separating guy that very versatile, and he was great. I mean, he got a lot of targets behind the line of scrimmage. That means he's versatile in the screen game. He's great after the catch. What's not to like about this guy? I mean, he checks every box for me. I'll take him here at the 110.
Those Texas wide receivers, you and I have both been saying, are going to probably have better NFL careers than they did in college. For me at this point,
Quinn stinks.
at the 111, I'm taking Adonai Mitchell, who just showed out at the combine, a 4.34 40. Absolutely the best we've ever seen broad jump at 138 inches. That is sheer explosion. That's a guy that is, you know, if we take out some of the analytics, we look at some of the, you know, obviously he had a career 8.6 yards per target, 18 touchdowns, 168 targets. This is someone that, you know, the more I watch, the more I like him. I think he has not peaked in college because of a lot of those things. People are going to start talking about, you know, his yak and some other things there. But this is someone that is an explosive wide receiver who I think has George Pickens type play in him. Someone that I think is a nice wide receiver too, that would complement in the right situation. And I think Adonai Mitchell is going to end up being a value here at the 111, 112 range in your rookie drafts.
Absolutely. And I think, Dad, we can seriously argue that the three wide receivers that we just took is literally a 4A, 4B, 4C, right? Like, there's days I wake up and I'm like, ah, I like A.D. Mitchell over Worthy. Ah, I like Worthy over Thomas. Ah, I like Thomas over both of them. It's really going to come down to where they land and how that NFL team can utilize their skill set, right? Like, if Worthy goes to the Dolphins and he's the third option, like, he's probably going to be the odd man out in the first year or two. But, like, there's a world where he goes to Dallas and Adonai Mitchell goes to – maybe it's like the 49ers or the Lions, and he's like the third or fourth option, and he struggles to get on the field. And you just prefer Worthy in that number two role in a power five, high-powered offense. So I think the landing spot is going to be huge for these three guys. But right here, 4, 5, 6, I just came to a tier break. We're going to jump into my wide receiver 7 in this class. And a guy that can jump into this tier personally for me, I think his landing spot matters the most. We're going to go with Troy Franklin, wide receiver out of Oregon. The NFL draft community seems really lower on him than the fantasy football community, in my opinion. Analytically, he's the wide receiver 4, arguably the wide receiver 3 in this class, if you only look at the analytics. I just think, like, 6'2", 175, he just had such, like, a weird build and frame, and, like, the way he, like, wins on the football field is, like, a weird way for me that, like, I have a hard time envisioning him being, like, this wide receiver 1 on a team where he's, like, a superstar, but I could see him being like that really good number 2, like that Jordan Addison. That's actually my comp for him is Jordan Addison. Bit bigger, but he's the same type of like length and size and speed and where he wins. Jordan Addison got that right landing spot, 900 plus yards, double digit touchdowns as a rookie. Like Troy Franklin can have that type of rookie season in the right spot. Like if a team like the Chargers take him or if a team like the Cardinals take him and he's like that number 2 guy. But this is a guy, I mean, 4.41 speed. He was a great athlete at the combine, 9+ raw score, early declare, power 5 player. He was a big part of that Oregon success and that run that they went on the past 2 seasons. He was much better in contested catch situations than I thought he would be for his size and for his weight. Like he's 175 pounds and he's making some pretty acrobatic catches through contact and over his shoulder. A little bit of a drop rate issue that I saw, but that's something that he can clean up. I think he's a very safe prospect to just be something in the NFL. Like he's going to have a role. He's going to be something. And like, that's what I'm chasing here at like that 7 spot. Like we're in that early, like 112, 201 range. I'm chasing a guy with elite analytics, good film, and a player that can slide into any offense and just be something on that offense. Like he's going to have a role. And like people are saying he's Jalen Hyde. He's Jameson Williams. He's a better route runner than those guys were. He's more versatile than those guys were. I think these 7 wide receivers that we just named should and could get their names called on day 1, but I think Troy Franklin's going to be the odd man out and go in like that 33 to like 40, 45 range. And like we could see him in Carolina, right? Like imagine him with Bryce Young. Like that's a perfect fit, like that stretching the field role where he's just winning downfield. Bryce needed that big time last year as a complimentary to Deontay Johnson. Like I think Troy Franklin needs some more love and he should be in everybody's top 7 to 8 rankings. And a lot of drafts, like PFF, a lot of these sites have him outside the top 10. And I think he just needs a little bit more love personally, but I like this value here to take a shot on him.
Yeah, I mean, recapping, I like what you said there. Recapping 1 through 12, we have Caleb Williams, Marvin Harrison, Malik Nabers, tier break. We have Drake May, Jaden Daniels, Rome Odunze, Brock Bowers. Arguably a tier break in there between, you know, you could have all these guys if the landing spots go right. If McCarthy doesn't go to the Vikings, I'm doing a tier break after Bowers and before McCarthy. Then you talk about McCarthy would then kind of be in his own tier if he gets that way. You know, if he doesn't go to Minnesota, then you have these four wide receivers here with Brian Thomas, Xavier Worthy, Adonai Mitchell, and Troy Franklin all filling out that top 12. And, you know, it's hard to see a scenario where one of those four wide receivers busts. Arguably, one of them will, but it's very difficult to pinpoint and say, you know what? I think this guy's not going to pass the test. I don't think he's going to work. When we get to 201, it gets to be quite interesting. So now we got an area where, okay, Michael Penix Jr. gets drafted to the Raiders. He becomes a starter pretty early, and I think there's an area where he becomes a solid Tua light. I don't love him, but if he does go round one to the Raiders, I think he belongs in that area. You have Ladd McConkey, who, you know, I think could get round one draft capital. If he goes to Buffalo, you got to have him in your first round, but he's definitely worthy of that 201 pick. You got Blake Corum, Trey Benson, you know, Jonathan Brooks. Insert whoever you say your RB1 overall is. Whoever goes to Dallas, if it's one of those big three, they're going to go in the first round. There's no debate about it. They definitely belong there. And I think we get in an area here where it's like, you know what, Snook? There are probably from the, I'm going to say from where Mitchell is, because I think Worthy's slightly higher, from 111 to 205 are going to be very similar type prospects. It's going to be landing spot. And I think a lot of people are asking me, they're like, Dad, who you taking 201? Who you taking 202? 111 to 205 right now is a very hot spot for me. I feel like all of them are going to feel like the equivalent of a first round pick in this year's draft.
Yeah, you absolutely nailed it. And I just queued up 12 guys here that I can just kind of name off that I envision that I picture being the second round, just based on like what we can kind of assume for draft capital. You got to imagine Penix and Bo Nix, as much as I'm not big fans of them, they're going to be in that second round range because there's a chance people are saying, a lot of smart guys like Schefter, Mel Kiepert, saying that they're going to be first round picks. Maybe they take that late round first, right? And then we get Worthy, Mitchell, maybe a Thomas in that late first, early second round range. I would love that. I'll take those guys over those QBs, even if those QBs go round one. But then you got like Blake Corum, Jonathan Brooks, Trey Benson. Those are my three RBs right there. That's my top three. You got those guys kind of shaping up that early to mid second round range. And then my wide receiver 9 and 10, right? We just got up to 8 with Ladd, Javon Baker, Xavier Leggett. I think Leggett's going to go really early on day two. And I think Javon Baker is going to be a day two pick. I think these guys have the highest ceiling after the top 8. And I could see one of those guys jumping into the top 8. But I think if you were just chasing ceiling in this round, I don't care about drafting a guy that's going to get me 800 yards and 2 touchdowns. I'm chasing a guy that can be that Rashee Rice, that can be that Jaden Reed, that can be that. There's no Puka Nacua coming soon, and I'm sorry to break that news to you, but maybe be like a Puka Light. It's going to be a Javon Baker or a Xavier Leggett, and I think the NFL's high on these guys. I think Leggett especially, the NFL's really high on. He's going to get the good draft capital. Great athlete. Like, he's an elite athlete. Freakish size. He's going to go round two. And then we jump into like RB 4, 5, and 6. We got Marshawn Lloyd. We got Audric Estimate, and we got Jalen Wright. Like, I think those guys, along with probably JT Sanders, even though I think he's going to be overdrafted in rookie drafts, are going to help shape up the rest of that second round. And then you got a guy like Keon Coleman, who's going to probably go in that late second round range. So I think these are all the guys that we can look at right now and kind of get eyes on and pick who we like out of these guys and who we don't like. Things will change. I'm sure some of these guys shuffle out, some other guys shuffle in. But, Dad, I'm curious if there's any guys that you would add to that group that I just kind of rattled off, because that's 12 guys, 201 to 212. Kind of curious where you stand now.
Here's the nice part, right? You and I set out to make this a, you know, let's go over the first round lightly. Let's get into the second round. I'm so pumped up for this class. I'm ready to do a second pod, just cover rounds 2 and 3, because every single person, we just hit the 1 through 12 hard. I think, you know, that is where we want to be. We're going to compare some of that to 2025. But I want to jump in. I don't want to make this like a 2-hour episode, because we could talk for days. But I want to thank you guys for tuning in for round 1 of our Superflex mock draft. Tune in for the second one. We're going to do rounds 2, maybe even to round 3, and bring you guys some insight. So what you really want, Snoog, is going into the draft, you want to know who your top 24 are, your top 36, and then make some shuffling. You don't want to guess who they are after the draft. So thanks again for tuning in, guys, and enjoy the process.